Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love.
Well, howdy, howdy. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love for June 23rd, 2018. And this is my solstice report, since we're still under the influence of the global solstice from 2 days ago. And I got to tell you, there's someone I really wanted to interview for the show tonight, and I could have, but there's an urgency with global mass awakening going on that really requires our attention as much as possible right now. So as the host of Cosmic Love, I couldn't think of anything more important than comment on those new articles and mind-expanding videos of the week that I've published since my last show. And some of them are really timely, and I think they're worthy of anchoring in the physical octave, you know, understanding of some breakthrough things that are going on right now. Someone's got to do it. And then as far as the cosmic weather in our global village tonight, I sometimes give a cosmic weather report for my show. And there's some interesting stuff going on tonight. I'm referring to the quantum field astrology psychology as the cosmic weather for the Earth at this time. And currently, there's a very unique geometry of energies in the quantum field of the Earth. And this has a very subtle yet powerful effect on our consciousness. You know, much like homeopathy or acupuncture has a very subtle yet powerful holistic influence on the energies of one's body, mind, and spirit. This understanding of quantum science is one of the big mass awakening events that's going on now. And we're right on the cusp of the Aquarian Age, which many are already calling the quantum age. Quantum reality changes everything. And the geometry of divinity, known as sacred geometry, will bring a new spirituality to the old paradigm of mechanistic science that is virtually junk science when devoid of the quantum bioenergetic factors that connect mental and spiritual health to physical health. So the geometry we're seeing in the heavens tonight is basically a window into the mind of G-O-D, as geometrically ordered divinity. And this sacred geometry is the law of the angles that frames the order of the universe from the atomic to the galactic. I've explained this fractal order of the holographic universe in numerous articles at heartcom.org, you know, my blog. And if you contact me at cosmiclove@mcn.net, that's cosmiclove, one word, at mcn.net, I'll be glad to send you a detailed report on sacred geometry and the holographic universe. There's some powerful geometry framing the heavens tonight with Jupiter conjunct the moon in a grand trine with Mercury and Neptune. This is a very interesting configuration. If you look up in the heavens tonight, that bright star right beside the moon is Jupiter. And what you can't see without a star chart is the triangle of 120-degree angles that connects Jupiter and the moon with Mercury and Neptune. This is a very harmonious blend of energies. And speaking in quantum terms, the planets represent different energies that are blended and synergized in this grand trine, creating a greater influence together than they have separately. And all these planets are in water signs that represents those deep space energies that are like stepped down through these planets. The planets are like harmonic, you know, they call it the harmony of the spheres. They're like stepped down energies, like transformers of these deep space energies into our local space. And in water signs, this represents those deep space energies that are more feminine, of a more feminine sensitivity, more the emotional body, energy and motion, sensitivity, effective sensory perception, from the synergy in the trinity of the planets, this Jupiter-Moon trine with Neptune and Mercury. And Jupiter and the Moon greatly amplify the energies of this grand trine, with more of the higher mental energies of Mercury and the higher spiritual energies of Neptune, which is energetically the higher octave of Venus. There's different frequency coordinates with all these different planets that correspond symbolically, metaphors, you know, with mythology and all that, you know, with the understanding of Venus and love. And, you know, there's all these metaphors out there regarding the astrology, psychology. But what's going on now, what it all says to me is that there's some powerful cosmic love aspects going on in the quantum field. And that's why I'm bringing it to your attention. Revelation is what revelation does, as the Ascended Master Forrest Gumption might say. You know, conscience is what conscience does. Revelation is what revelation does. And when you're ready, the revelation will appear. For we truly live in the anciently prophesied time of revelations. I mean, this is the time. The revelations with the instant, everywhere, interactive internet, all knowledge, power is available all the time to everyone. Well, at least more than 3 billion global netizens on the Earth. So there's a lot more planetary geometry going on tonight. There's a T-square, a kite pattern, a rectangle, and a finger of God pattern. But this is not an astrology report as much as a global transformation report at the time of solstice that provides the longest daylight of the year in the Northern Hemisphere, which is most of my listening audience by far. So I'm bringing more light to the subject of global enlightenment with the solstice report. And I'm going to go into it, you know, from my blog on June 21st, a couple of days ago, on the solstice. And, of course, you in your in the podcast, in the show notes, you'll be able to pull up the link to this article. And it begins with a graphic at the top that explains what a solstice is as relates to the equinox, you know, the difference between a solstice and an equinox. And this is old news for people that are familiar with astrology, psychology, at its very basic core levels. And for those who are not, this is a good, simple orientation of what goes on with summer solstice here in the Northern Hemisphere as the North Pole tilts towards the sun for the longest day of the year. Now, simultaneously, while this is going on in the Northern Hemisphere, the Southern Hemisphere is having the winter solstice, where the North Pole is tilted away from the sun in the shortest day of the year. Of course, the equinoxes are equidistant. There's no tilt of the Earth in relationship to the sun on the vernal equinox and the autumnal equinox. So that chart kind of summarizes that. Again, this is old news for people that follow the astrology, psychology I've talked about often over the years. But it's, you know, for those who are new to the show, this is a good orientation. And basically, the thematic key, I would say, with this, to take out of this solstice, the energies right now is, you know, happy solstice, keep the faith, you know, see the good, you know, make it so. So the point being, these are really stupendous times, as I said, as the time of revelations. I mean, never in the history of humanity has there been so much opportunity for positive world change. We've got long-suppressed technologies for free energy and global holistic healing that are now emerging. And new internet capabilities to upgrade global freedom and opportunity are now manifesting. I write about that in my blogs on a regular basis. You know, I'm basically, in a sense, preaching to the choir. But, you know, the revelation that goes with this understanding, we have a global village now of instant, everywhere, interactive capabilities. Communication, information, connection capabilities. And this is a wonderful time to be alive and celebrate the spirit that matters on Earth as in cosmos at large. So happy solstice, keep the faith. I mean, this is not just the end of the world as we've known it. This is the beginning of a new world, ready or not. So my blog page, I have a graphic, infographic that's I've titled Empowering Our Spiritual Immune Systems. Because with so much change going on, with the accelerated change that's going on with all this revelations, all this conscious evolution, revolution, revelations stuff going on, it's important to have a strong spiritual immune system. So the understanding of what a spiritual immune system is comes through this quote by Henri Bergson. And to quote, he says, "Fortunately, Some are born with spiritual immune systems that sooner or later give rejection to the illusory worldview grafted upon us from birth through social conditioning. They begin sensing that something is amiss and start looking for answers. Inner knowledge and anomalous outer experiences show them a side of reality others are oblivious to, and so begins their journey of awakening. Each step of the journey is made by following the heart instead of following the crowd, and by choosing knowledge over the veils of ignorance, unquote. Again, that's by Henry Bergson. Actually, I've read his stuff over the years, and I have a lot of his material printed out, actually on my kitchen table right now, recent material. Brilliant guy, a lot of insight on this conscious evolution process and what's going on in the mind of man as relates to the mind of, you might say, the mind of God or the collective conscience or social conscience in our social networks. So he says in this last sentence of this quote, he says, each step of the journey is made by following the heart instead of following the crowd, and by choosing knowledge over the veils of ignorance. Now, that in particular has real significance to me in the sense that those who have been following the 2012 Global Upgrade series since the first of the year, I've been writing about this global communications, telecommunications revolution, and what it will look like with hardware, you know, the next phase of the computer internet revolution, you know, from hardware to software to netware, you know, the internet to hardware, which is the next phase of the computer internet revolution that will involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness with an interactive process based on the language of consciousness itself. Again, in a way that will involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. So culturing social conscience in our social, or you know, our global social networks with more heart, you know, following the heart instead of following the crowd. Well, once we have metrics for objectifying the crowd, the social conscience and social networks, which is what Heartware does, as I've explained, and I provide links in this blog article on Heartware that goes into it, and I've provided a website, several actually websites that deal with the holodeck of consciousness, you know, between our ears, and the understanding of the language of light of consciousness, light as consciousness, the processes of consciousness, and how an interactive communication process can, again, involve and evolve the language of consciousness to evolve our social conscience as a whole. So there's following the crowd and there's following the heart. How we can provide metrics for defining, you might say, a unified field of social conscience in our social networks is what I've explained with Heartware. Now, following the heart is, with Heartware, there's actually a metric for sharing with yourself, like biofeedback, and this is, again, is a harmonic thing that developed by Dan Winter, who's famous for his pioneering of heart coherence. It's an objective way to, with biofeedback, to keynote, basically a reference, when you are in the frequency of holy compassion, you know, heart coherence, that's actually a golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm when it's in the frequency of holy compassion, joy, divine love, and it is a real frequency. It's actually considered, this coherence frequency is considered the harmonic in the fabric of the holographic universe, you know, the fractal harmonic. There is a harmonic frequency that is the golden ratio algorithm of the heart rhythm in this frequency of compassion and joy and divine love that can actually, there are metrics for it. Dan Winter has actually developed applications for the smartphone, for the iPhone, for other smartphones, that while you're talking, you will actually be able to monitor with the little app on the smartphone when you're in that frequency or not, or when the person you're talking with is in their heart or not. So more heart with smart is really like the best of both worlds. So there is a wisdom of the crowd, and there was a very popular movie on TV this last year, which they canceled. It's called Wisdom of the Crowd, and it was very popular. Jeremy Piven was, one of the lead actors in this show. He was one of the people that really got accused of a lot of abuse on the set, and it came out in the media, and they canceled the show. I'm not sure if it was abuse of women or abuse of minors or whatever it was, but anyway, he got outed on the internet, and the show was history. It was a good show. I really liked it in the sense that it explained how the technology could be used to represent, a certain wisdom in the crowd. Now, what that means is that you have like a collective database of information of what's working or what's happening in any social network. Now, this can be a database of medical information, what's working best, whether it be homeopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, allopathic, or semi-eclectic combination. And with databases that reference that, I mean, this is the technology could be used for that purpose. They're showing, for any individual going to a website and going through a gateway on that website for their own unique metabolic type, their blood type, the metabolic type. And for all the people on the planet with that metabolic type, for a set of current symptom profiles that you could type in, your current symptom profiles of that of your child, and then check the database of what is most likely, based on results, what's working best, whether it be homeopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, allopathic, different modalities of holistic health care, what's indicated to be working best, or what combination, what eclectic combination of modalities. So this is a vision of healing in the healthcare system, wisdom of the crowd. Now, the heart factor comes into it, obviously, with healthcare. The care factor, if you care for your health, and if the computer industries and the technology industries really cared for our health, they would have provided this already. Of course, we all know the economics and politics of disease care are far more complex than the science of holistic healthcare. And it's been suppressed. This is part of the revelations going on. It's becoming self-evident that there have been cures not only for cancer for like 80 years since Royal Raymond Rife with this quantum healing Rife generator technology. All this stuff is coming out, just like Tesla's technology for free energy technology. All these things are coming out now. This is that time of revelations. And the implications are vast. And it's good to understand and have a clear vision of where it's going, what it will look like, then basically how to get there. Basically set the matrix to go beyond the matrix as we've known it. A whole new paradigm shift to transcend and transmute the paradigm paralysis of stinking thinking and basically stuck in negativity of the old paradigm paralysis. So this is all part of the big flux in the global social, political, geopolitical, community. Because you have the same technology of wisdom of the crowd can be applied for representative government. You might say an electronic upgrade of our horse and buggy legislative representative system where people can be represented more directly. And you can have wisdom of the crowd with hardware, and I've explained that on the website, how that works, whereby 100 or 1,000 or a million people can respond to a live video of a presentation on geopolitical whatever, or on any subject, actually, and respond without creating noise, and how that will work, with three numbers in sequence that reference three dimensions, you might say, of the holodeck between your ears, upper brain to lower brain, left brain, right brain, forebrain, and rear brain. And those three numbers in a sequence that you're on your smartphone or your alphanumeric keyboard on your computer, those three numbers create a dot and a cube, and you can have a field of dots. So the wisdom of the crowd, how people are responding at any one moment on a real-time basis, or this can be a replay. I mean, you can do the replay of the video. People can respond, and they'll be able to see the response to that point of field. And again, you have wisdom of the crowd, how other people responded. But if you follow your heart, if your heart coherent, you'll be able to see you know, again, how the blinking dot, you know, where the blinking dot where your response is, how it relates to the field, you will be able to be aware, you know, following your heart, how you, you know, feel, respond, you know, think about, you know, with these three numbers in sequence, upper brain, lower brain, you know, with your first impression, like on a brightness scale, you know, from the upper brain to lower brain, you know, if it's too bright, authoritative, and sophisticated, you know, on the upper part of the chart, upper part of the scale, or if it's too dark, dim, you know, on that first horizontal vertical scale, on a brightness scale, balance would be it's if it's properly exposed and developed, it's not too bright, it's not too simplistic or childlike or too, you know, below you. If it's not above you or below you, if it's balanced, that would be like the point in the middle, and it goes actually zero wholeness in the middle, balance point, like the capstone of this cube or the center of all these pyramids, the center in the you know, basically centered and connected in the center of this cosmic cube between your ears. You've got the first scale, brightness scale, and of course, white light hits the prism of human consciousness and refracts into all the colors of the rainbow from left brain to right brain. Then you've got the whole color spectrum, and you've got on one end of the spectrum, you've got like Spock, you know, who's all intellectual, and you've got on the other end of the spectrum, you know, take the Star Trek metaphor, you've got Scotty, you know, who's all emotional. And, of course, in the middle of the color spectrum, you've got Captain Kirk, who's, balancing, you know, the left brain and the right brain, you might say, in the command position of making decisions. And, of course, the middle of the color spectrum is the brightest of all colors, the wisdom ray, yellow, and the chlorophyll color, you know, which is mostly green, yellow and green, right in the middle of the color spectrum, an angstrom unit. So this universal language of light and consciousness follows the language of consciousness. Brightness scale, color spectrum, and of course the patterning of brightness and color forms an image, you know, a meaningful, meaningless, you know, that you can on the scale of the depth dimension, you know, from forebrain to rear brain, or you might say foresight or hindsight, you've got as an overview after the first few dimensions, you know, the first vertical and the horizontal dimension, brightness scale and color spectrum, you've got pattern recognition, you know, get the picture, you know, meaningful, meaningless, too deep, too shallow, you know, but it's kind of an overview. So these three numbers create a dot in the cube. Then it can be blinking with this little, with the hardware program in the lower corner of your screen. You'll be able to see this little 3D graphic, you know, with the field of dots. Then on the left part of the screen at the bottom, you'll see whether you're in heart coherence or not. Point being, if that with the biofeedback, you'll be able to see in the collective consciousness those who are heart coherent, you know, with the biofeedback interface. And this is all part of the hardware software integration with hardware. It's actually integrating hardware, software, and netware with the internet. So hardware is an integration, you might say, the first three evolutions of the computer internet revolution, from hardware like IBM to software, which is like Microsoft, to netware, which is like Netscape. Then you have heartware, which is the integration with this understanding of heart coherence and mind congruence. Heart coherence in terms of a little biofeedback interface that you'll be able to see on a real-time basis or instant replay basis, those who are responding, whether they're in their heart or not, and the field of influence, the field, the collective field in your dot blinking, how you would respond or how you responded in relationship to the field of everyone else when they were coherent or not, and if you were coherent or not, if you were in your heart or not. So this quote by Henry Bergson, where he says, each step of the journey is made by following the heart instead of following the crowd, and by choosing knowledge over the veils of ignorance. This is the vision of heartware, whereby the journey of following the heart instead of following the crowd, to be sovereign and independent in your own heart mind, and being able to respond to social conscience in terms of an objective metric for monitoring or registering collective conscience at any one point of a video, you know, you might say within the context at any one time, and as maybe at the in any part of a video or as a video of a whole, be able to see the pattern recognition of the collective, you know, holodeck, the collective field of consciousness that is a function of and as relates to your own field of consciousness. You know, and whether you were in your heart or not, and when you were in your heart, how the field, how it compares to those who are in their heart or not. And when you're not in your heart, how that compares to those who are in their heart or not. This is all basically this understanding of heartware with a process that involves and evolves the language of consciousness, the language of light, for culturing social conscience in our social networks. And this is the main thing I've been talking about since the first of the year in the 2012 Global Upgrade Series. I've been referencing this repeatedly. I've been talking about this for 11 years during my Cosmic Love Show, and long before that, you know, with my publishing going back, you know, for decades on the internet and print publications. So basically, we're seeing a fulfillment of the times with a vision and an opportunity for freedom and opportunity on a scale of global evolution, revolution, revelations. Basically, you know, the next phase of the computer internet revolution and what this will look like as far as culturing social conscience in our global social networks. I mean, we're talking about 3 billion global netizens, and this is like a universal interface, this hardware, for global interaction. How this works, what this looks like. So I've gone through that model. I've got websites that explain this in a lot more detail. But this, for those who have been following this concept since the first of the year, in particular with the 2018 Global Upgrade Series, I've been having a lot of videos and articles that have been going into different dimensions of this. And so this is one of the best synopsis I've given to date on what this process looks like and how it will work. So I don't learn fast, but I learn good. I've been doing this for 11 years on the show and talking about this more and more. Most of the 11 years, I've been just interviewing other people that are a lot smarter than me about all kinds of things regarding quantum physics, the secret space program, and what's going on with conscious evolution on the planet. There's some lot of luminaries and leaders out there that I've been tuning into and following and interviewing, with the idea that some of it will rub off on me. And of course, I've been applying this, you know, practical applications to this understanding of the language of consciousness, the language of light, and the capability of new information technology for providing global telecommunications, global telecommunity, teleconscience, telecare, holistic health, telecommerce, what that will look like with cryptocurrencies, and basically a whole new economic order that is emerging, while the old economic order, as we've known it, is going through systemic global changes right now, as most of the world in the East and the BRICS nations are going off the petrodollar and are going on more of the gold standard and the resource standard beyond oil. And this is largely because free energy technology can't be suppressed any longer. It's going into production all over the world, not just secret laboratories. It's coming out in different production models. It's still being suppressed largely, but it's coming. So what will a new economy look like with free energy technology, where there's abundance of free energy? I mean, we have an economics of scarcity. What will an economics of abundance look like? How is the transition going to happen? Well, the key is more love, more light and love, easier and faster. You know, it's going to require a process that involves and evolves our conscience as a check and balance on, you know, dense, unconscious, and heartless. There are forces in the world, the corporatocracy, that put stockholders before the public whenever profits are at stake. That force is what, in that you might say, greed or selfishness or, you know, patriarchal ownership and control, whatever you want to call it, it is basically reached a point where gross defects obscure actual gains. The economics of scarcity, you know, win-lose, you know, stockholders win, the public loses. I mean, that may sustain the military-industrial complex and the medical-industrial complex, big pharma, but it's killing us. You know, it's on a self-destruct course. And, you know, it's got to turn around. It's in the process of turning around. More people need to see how good things can be, the vision of how we're going to get there, what it will look like, what global holistic healing will look like with global telecare, what an upgrade of global telecommunity and telecommunications will look like with an upgrade of our five core internet freedoms. And what, you know, how that will work, you know, for basically to provide this hardware integration of hardware, software, and network so that we've got real community and our social network communities become real community rather than virtual community. And real community is defined, the difference between real community and virtual community is love. Love is, you know, as a frame of reference for the heart coherence, an understanding of the science of heart coherence as love, an aspect of love that is really a harmonic aspect of love, and love also as a higher mental, a frame of reference for universal law language, you know, geometrically ordered divinity, basically the order of the universe, you know, the first principles on a level of the law of the one, the two in one, the three in one, the four in one. You know, a dimensional understanding of the first principles of cosmic law for the building of the kingdom consciousness, you know, on Earth as in cosmos. When I say the kingdom consciousness, I'm talking about the keys to the incarnation of God, love, source, consciousness. And this is, again, the law of the one, you know, how we're all connected in the unified field. In astrology, this is the principle of conjunction. There's a blending of energies, and we are one. In a larger regard, I mean, there is, and the two in one, the law of two in one is considered the understanding of unity in diversity. Yes, we're individual sovereign individuals. We're all coming in with different soul contracts, and we each have our own divine plan as far as, you know, the highest and best direction of one's life for one's soul contract and all things considered. But that's unique to each individual, and that, you know, these private rights in the public sphere, this is, you know, wisdom of the crowd is the public sphere, you know, united, you know, when we unite and combine our God-given gifts and resources, I mean, you know, we all have different talents and gifts and resources. And to honor those and to recognize those and then to combine those, you know, so you define, you refine, and you combine, you know, basically, you know, these resources with this creative process. And this is the three-in-one. You have like thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And the synthesis is the synergy. It's like the grand trine that's going on in the heavens tonight. There's a synergy that's greater than the sum of the parts. And you have this combining, this creative process of co-creation. It's like the biological model and the two hemispheres of the brain. It's like the biological model of male and female creating, co-creating to create, you know, a child. Of course, the child of each of us, moment to moment, is a blending of what's going on in the left brain and the right brain. You know, they might say the masculine egoic frames of reference in a linear, logical way, and the right brain, feminine, intuitive, you know, holistic frame of reference that's more non-egotistical. So that's blending, that there's a marriage going on moment to moment within, you know, the hemispheres of each one's brain. So these principles are universal. It's called biomimicry. You know, it's like on Earth in the physical and our biology as it is in cosmos. In other words, the fabric of the universe, there's these principles of they're called the right dynamic, round magnetic, and radiant energy principles that operate on a fractal quantum level throughout the fabric of the universe. These three principles from the atomic to galactic. You have right dynamic energy fields, like in astrology, that's squares and opposition. And then you have round magnetic energy fields, which is like a blending of energies, which is like conjunctions, like the Jupiter and the moon going on tonight, are blending. And you have radiant energy field, which is like trines and sextiles, like the grand trine tonight, where there's going on in the heavens tonight with the grand trine, there's a blending of the energies of the moon and Jupiter magnifying, you know, strongly magnifying in a trine harmonious relationship with Mercury and Neptune, you know, the higher octave of Venus. So there's this cosmic love stuff going on tonight. I'm kind of in a rare form tonight because, you know, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the energy. And it's, you know, I'm tuning into it. You know, I'm aware of it. I've become conscious of this language of consciousness that is basically the law of the angles, or sometimes people, the angles of G-O-D, the angles of geometrically ordered divinity. This is what sacred geometry is about. It's really cosmic law. It's the order of the universe. So I can't think of anything better to do than to chunk out this kind of an understanding at this critical time, because we're in a transition stage, you know, globally. Things are moving very fast, and a lot of people are confused. And it's good to take the high ground and get the big picture of where this thing is going with alignment with and harmony with, you know, universal cosmic law language. You know, the law of the angles, the language of the angels. Heart coherence is the language of the angels. So each step of the journey is made by following the heart instead of following the crowd, and by choosing knowledge over the veils of ignorance. Henry Bergson again. Following the heart, coherence, and the higher mind of love, higher mind of G-O-D, geometrically ordered divinity, the love model, a higher mental understanding of the law of the one, you know, atonement as at-one-ment, the law of the two-in-one. You've got polarity versus duality. Polarity is the two-in-one. Duality is like divide and conquer. And you've got the law of the three-in-one. And the three-in-one throne, like the throne of God, love, is a blending. It's a combination. And the three-in-one is like thesis, antithesis, synthesis. And we're talking about a synergy rather than the dialectic. You know, just like the two-in-one is polarity rather than divide and conquer, three-in-one is a synergy, which is greater than the sum of the parts, rather than the dialectic, which is, you know, the perversion of the Trinity, which you create a crisis to manage a crisis to create, you know, a new order. That's the dark side aspect of it. The light side is the concept of synergy that Buckminster Fuller explained, where a whole can be greater than the sum of the parts, and you get this in the trine, in the Trinity, the synergy of the Trinity. And the law of the four-in-one, it's like the pyramid of self and civilization. As you're looking down on the pyramid, you see the four sides integrate. As you look down on the plan of a pyramid, you know, you're looking down on the pyramid, you're seeing the four sides all coming together, like in the very center, and I use a symbol in the L-O-V-E graphic with the square and the cross and the circle in the middle to represent the spherical consciousness in the capstone. And that spherical consciousness is the same spherical consciousness in the law of the one, the circle. Law of the two-in-one, back the circle in the cross. Law of the three-in-one, like thesis, antithesis, synthesis, where there's a cross with the circle where it comes together. The left and the linear and the nonlinear, there's a new synthesis with, again, the circle being referenced. And the law of the four-in-one being the capstone, you know, basically the whole point of vision, God vision, with the metaphor of the pyramid. We're talking about the pyramid of self and civilization. And personally, it's like the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical sides of the pyramid of self. In civilization, you're talking about core institutions of government, education, healthcare, and the economy. You know, there's four sides of the pyramid of self and civilization, and this symbol of the square with the cross through the middle and the circle, the capstone. You know, looking down on the pyramid plan, looking down on the pyramid. It's a metaphor in East and West. You see it in Tibetan sand paintings. You know, the mandalas. You know, the square and all the four gateways of the city, four square. It's a symbol of an ancient Christian mysticism. They called the city four square, the New Jerusalem. The four square gospel that was really big movement in the 30s out of California. Amy Simple McPherson, the four square gospel. It was just, again, these four aspects. You might say the four sides of the pyramid of self and civilization. Of course, modern psychology, Jung, talks about these four archetypes, you know, the four winds of the Native American Indians, you know, the four directions that the Native cultures all over the world speak of, and they all over the world you have these graphics representing these four sides of the four winds of the four directions of the four aspects of what Jung would call these universal archetypes. And you can say it, you know, in the interfamily archetypes, you can say it's loving father, loving son, loving mother, loving girl child. You can get into these different archetypes in terms of the Holy Family, the inner child, inner family, but you can talk about the collective consciousness of humanity in the same regard. And, of course, Heartware, the model of Heartware, references these archetypes as a universal law language. It's like the architecture of the inner sense for navigating inner space, you know, cyberspace. It's like this language of consciousness, the frames of reference that bring in the first principles of universal cosmic law, law of the angles, language of the angels, an interactive process for global telecommunications, for telecommunity, for culturing social conscience in our social networks, and for holistic healing with global telecare. And the other aspects of global telecommerce and global teleconscience with the ongoing lifelong learning with the internet, whereby you can involve and evolve your individual consciousness of the collective consciousness, how we're all unique and yet separate. And again, this can be done. This can be done with hardware so that that your private information can be protected. And it should be an open system that it's upfront from the beginning of how it's structured and designed to protect that, and that there's no data harvesting of your personal information. It can be done this way. And if it's not done this way, then it'll face abuse, just like we've seen. And Google and Facebook have been selling private information of people, you know, basically for profit. You know, the economics of scarcity, whereby there's a scarcity information about people, and the more people know about you, the more they can influence you. But at the same time, the opposite of that is true. The more privacy you have, the more you can be individual and separate from and maintain your autonomy as a sovereign individual, and yet be able to see, and you'll be able to see where these dots of the wisdom of the crowd, you know, with these three numbers in sequence and a unified field response during a video. You'll be able to see like a pattern recognition of where the wisdom of the crowd is, but they're like a field of dots. There's no individual information about the people being transferred or translated. It's just a metric for referencing the collective consciousness in a social network. You'll be able to see how you relate to that, but others won't be able to see what your individual separation or, you know, what your individual information, who you are, how you are conscious. Only you can see that. And that's the way it should be. Basically, everyone should have a right to their own conscience, and they should have a right to, you know, there should be, you know, everyone should have a right to express their opinion in a way that the what's best for all, wisdom of the crowd, can be represented. So basically, we can culture, you know, wisdom in the collective conscience of humanity in our social networks. You know, culturing enlightened wisdom of what's working best for holistic healing, what's working best for culture social conscience and social networks, so that there's individual rights are respected, but the representation, you might say, a real-time representation of heart, mind, coherence, and congruence in a social network, the value of that, the priceless value of that, is a vision for the rise of the United Sovereigns of Earth as a holy whole. When I say that, it's like this understanding that we live in a global village now of instant everywhere interactive, you know, capabilities. A global village in principle. It's like in principle this is what we have. It's instant everywhere interactive global village that we live in. In practice, though, we're still compartmentalized, fragmented. And deep state media wants to keep it that way. And the internet is creating a whole new culture, again, of social conscience and social networks. So where's that going? What's the next generation of that? How can we involve and evolve more social conscience in our social networks? Well, that's talking about, you know, the vision of that and how that works, you know, can be the catalyst for a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I'm trying to basically give a visual orientation and representation of what this looks like, where it's going, and how to get there. And there's a lot of paths to the same mountaintop, but basically we're talking about, you know, loving relationships in our global village. You know, and so I'm going to skip down through the rest of this post. I mean, I got off on a, I mean, I, geez, I really got off the script, so to speak. But that's what I do with the show. You know, I try to take it to the next level and then bring it back into, you know, some resource material that anchors it. And this is the rest of this post on the solstice. It goes into basically, you know, from after this quote, which I've spent a lot of time on by Henry Bergson, it goes into some frames of reference and some basically some coordinates for understanding the spirit that matters for wholeness and healing, you know, on a personal and planetary scale. It goes into specifics on that. Now, you can skip all that on the website down below where I provide some inspirational videos of this last week. And I'm going to reference that. I'm going to go into that. I'm going to skip over, you know, basically the links on the principles of sacred geometry and the constitution of love, geometrically ordered divinity, and, you know, five core internet freedoms, and the genesis of conscientious common sense in our social networks. You know, you can read about that, and there's some kind of a keynotes there. But I want to go right into some of the inspirational videos of the week, because some of these are really powerful. And the first one on this solstice piece right at the top is called Seven Steps for Spiritual Revolution. This is by Lynn Taggart. Now, this just came out June 14th, and she's in the faculty of Quantum University. But this Lynn Taggart, and she's a phenomenal gal. Her story over the last 20 years, her research and her publications on holistic medicine, homeopathy, and quantum physics for quantum healing advances have been phenomenal. I mean, I had her on my radio show several years ago. I mean, she's the award-winning author of six books on the quantum field. One of them is called The Field. One of them is called The Bond, you know, our connection. She's a researcher, lecturer, whose work has been rightly described as the bridge between science and spirituality. I can't emphasize that enough. This video has some really enlightened stuff in it. I mean, if you're going to watch, you know, something that's really interesting, there's some substance to it. And it goes on for an hour? It's worth it. You know, if you want to take the time, you know, to kind of get a perspective of where this quantum revolution is going with the evolution of consciousness, she provides some classic, phenomenal stuff there. I mean, I highly recommend it. And then there's another video after this. Now, this gets into more of the geopolitics and what's going on with the war in the cultural media war that's going on with the deep state media and the independent internet media in the United States right now. And this has got some meaty stuff. This is some thought-provoking stuff. And this interview from Jordan Peterson, Strassel, interviews Jordan Peterson on, and regarding these Marxist tactics, you know, what's going on with this Marxist, stuff going on in our universities, and they call them social justice warriors, but, you know, this Marxist influence that's in so many of our universities. So this is a highly intelligent perspective on the first principles of personal sovereignty, again, which is a core issue globally right now. The understanding of personal sovereignty and those forces that are opposing personal sovereignty. And I make a note here, and you can go and read more about this. I've been writing about this recently, the connection of Marxism to political Zionism. And people don't understand this and want to understand this. There's a link on that in the link I provided in the show notes, you know, for the podcast. So, but now, what I go into next, the next video, and I'm going to go into two videos here. The first one, there is an extraordinary video from this last week, June 18th, and this is reported by Time.com, you know, Time magazine. They got kind of the exclusive on that. I couldn't find this video anyplace else. It's President Trump calling on the Pentagon to create a new military branch. Like Time got the feature on this. I can't, like I say, find this link to this video anyplace else, but watch this short clip of video. President Trump calls on the Pentagon to create a new military branch, a space force. Now, if you watch that video clip and then go on to watch this next video, it's David Wilcock on the secret space program. I mean, this is a blast from the recent past. It's not, this video was from April 24th, but this is not been registered in, of course, the mainstream media at all, and in the collective consciousness, it's just beginning to register, but it's a major theme. It's kind of old news for those who have been following the 2018 Global Upgrade, you know, series since January, the first of the year, but it's a major theme that may explain why Trump just called for a new space force this week. I mean, think about that. Why did he call for a new space force now? watch this video, David Wilcock and the Secret Space Program, and you'll be able to see, understand, that this big disclosure of what's going on with the Secret Space Program has been coming out at an accelerated rate on Gaia TV, on different internet channels, videos, articles on the Secret Space Program, the Sphere Beings, the Blue Avians. It's going mainstream via the internet all over the world. People are reading about this, and so now Trump is introducing the Secret Space, you know, not Secret Space Program. He's calling it, you know, we're going to call it a Space Force. A new military branch called the Space Force. Interesting timing this last week. I had to bring this up. This last article, and it's an audio, it's not a video, but on this Solstice piece, I wanted to reference this. It's called Reluctant Psychonaut Michael Pollan Embraces the New Science of Psychedelics. Now, this is a phenomenal audio, and there was another interview of Michael Pollan on City Arts and Lectures this last Thursday night on NPR, and I could not find a copy of that. That was actually a better interview. It was so phenomenal. It was off the charts. I found it just by accident. It was NPR Thursday night about 8 o'clock here in Montana, but it plays at different times around the country. And that was on City Arts and Lectures. Anyway, it was about Michael Pollan again and the research with not just psilocybin and LSD, magic mushrooms, but also DMT and mescaline, and how it's providing relief with scientific research studies with people suffering from difficult-to-treat conditions such as depression, addiction, anxiety, and so much more, even with healthy people that aren't mentally ill but are having trouble coming to grips with the challenges of everyday life. I mean, this is a mind-blowing audio, and what it's talking about is really, and this is the core of it, it's discussing the power of the mind to heal itself with a mystical experience for a new perspective on old problems. Because what these psychedelics do, basically the neurotransmitters for the brain, they get people out of the left brain, and people experience ego dissolution. The ego dissolution is frames of reference for what's real, that they're anchored in the left brain linear logical. Everyone's, you might say, left brain dominant thinking is more ego-oriented, and right brain is more nonlinear, non-duality, more of a unity consciousness with intuition and holistic seeing big pictures rather than, you know, basically frames of reference with, you know, in a linear way. So this is what's going on with this process, is people are getting out of the box. And this gets into the history of the consciousness revolution in the 60s and why it was suppressed because of the backlash. It was, you know, suppressed by all the major media when for 30 years they were embracing this conscious evolution revolution stuff since the understanding and the research and the science with psychedelics first came out. So there's some fascinating stuff here. And I highly recommend people get the book by this Michael Pollan. If I'm pronouncing that right, Michael Pollan, that's what it sounds like. And his new book is called How to Change Your Mind, What the New Science of Psychedelics Teaches Us About Consciousness, Dying, Addiction, Depression, and Transcendence. Transcending the lockstep linear left brain letter of the law with more of a right brain nonlinear spherical spirit of the law with more intuition and common sense. So anyway, that was the last video in the Solstice piece. This last week I did some other mind-expanding videos. I provided the link for that blog on mind-expanding videos. There are several of them then. Again, one of them is on the Secret Space Program, Free Energy. There's one video article that's very related to what's going on right now with the revelations regarding the future science, harnessing the power of love, a new science of everything. And this, again, references the work by Foster Gamble and a video about Foster Gamble and the Thrive Movement. Friend of his that has really got into the new science of everything. This is an amazing video on spiritual geometry, a geometrically ordered divinity. Again, what I call the law of the angles, the language of the angels, the law of the one. So there are some links with that article that go in-depth with this understanding of universal law language, cosmic law language, you know, law of the angles, again, language of the angels of divine love, heart coherence, mind congruence. For you psychonauts who basically are into understanding how to navigate inner space, and there's some real keynotes there that hopefully will provide you some inspiration. So anyway, I've covered a lot today, some of it rather fast. I guess you can do replay with the podcast. And hopefully, you know, there'll be this understanding of what's going on with this conscious evolution, revolution, revelations, and how a new social conscience in our social networks is the preeminent criteria for qualifying whether a social network community is a real community or a pseudo-community. You know, if the true meaning of community is is with unity, and communication is to come into unity. And with all the fake news communities out there, you know, deep state media out there, I mean, mainstream media, we should welcome an opportunity to become our own gatekeepers of social media with a universal universal interface for global interaction that makes it possible. This is my message with Heartware. It's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So as the chief architect of the U.S. Constitution said, conscience is the most sacred of all property. That was James Madison, fourth U.S. president. And that's my message. More conscience, more love, easier and faster. So keep the faith, see the good, make it so. Catch you in a few weeks. Bye for now.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.